All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John. Gentlemen, did we have breakfast?
I bet I did.
John, what'd you have?
I have had
pork,
and beef for 48 straight hours.
Sounds like heaven.
Talk dirty to me, baby.
It's a bit like heaven. The aftermath, and I haven't been sleeping in my own bed. The aftermath, and when I don't sleep in my own bed,
what, I don't. What does that mean? Have you been on the road?
That means I don't sleep with my squatty potty. The aftermath has been something else.
That's awful. I'm sorry to hear, buddy. Is your butt okay?
Yeah, I've been working on like.
I don't know what a squatty potty is.
What?
Is that something for a toddler?
Have we not gone over this?
Is that
Chuck? Will you enlighten?
Okay, so. The squatty potty is the bathroom assistant tool that allows your intestinal tract to more properly form during the defecation act. We are meant to squat down and poo on the ground, not sit on chairs when we poop, so parts of our digestive tract become kinked.
This unkinks it.
What you do is lift your knees up onto the squatty potty's
imagine Chuck doing this.
Foot, basically,
like a
gargoyle story. On the, you know...
On Notre Dame.
Yeah, a Gothic cathedral.
Right.
And your knees are up, and you're just, you know, and it makes it come faster, lowers the rate of hemorrhoids.
Don't use that.
Comes faster.
Verb,
let's keep moving. Let's...
defecate.
I got...
So this is like it's just a stool that someone has packaged as a assistant?
Yes, correct. It's a stool.
It's ergonomically designed to help you.
So it sounds better. Great. So you have one of those, but you can't take it on the road with you?
I should have. I worked on like a...
maybe you should come up with a travel squatty potty, make $1 million.
Just the same thing with a small handle.
Uh-huh. Or you just pick your knees up.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, no, just like...
Well, Chuck lectured my old lady about this at length, so I got one for Christmas.
It's pretty great.
So as revenge, I got Chuck one for Christmas.
Uh-huh. I already used my son's Woody potty trains on. So.
But this has little footprints on it.
I get it, but it's all the same. My knees are high, and my poop comes out clean.
But I worked on...
I believe that should be the tagline.
Oh, man. They have really good marketing. They have a commercial. It's like 3 minutes long.
Should they be sponsoring us?
We should look at...
This has now been a two-minute ad for the squatty potty.
Keep your knees high.
Yeah,
so poop like Eric Dickerson.
That's a fantastic reference.
You've got to... man kept his knees high and never met a sideline he didn't like. So I worked on... basically did a like a cooking video for comedian Ralphie May. Shout out. Sports fan.
Shout out Ralphie May.
Barbecue enthusiast.
He is.
So just cooking and eating constantly. A constant amount of cooking and eating. And all the meals have run together. Breakfast is every meal when you haven't slept. And when you wake up and start eating and don't stop eating, that's just 48 hours of breakfast.
So you've been having just a breakfast bender.
Mm-hmm.
Breakfast bender for John.
Ribs, brisket, pork shoulder. Outstanding.
That sounds fantastic. I want to get to my breakfast because it's an utter disappointment, and I want to move on to Chuck's breakfast.
Yeah, we're going
to
bookend your shitty breakfast with our wonderful breakfasts.
I had... the very underwhelming blueberry muffin from Panera.
Jeez, that's the most Keith breakfast of all.
It's like
from Panera really kicks it in the ass.
Well, here's the thing. Actually, I need to specify.
Yep.
The blueberry muffin is not underwhelming.
Right.
Completely fine blueberry muffin with, I assume, genetically modified, gigantic, delicious blueberries.
Super fruit.
Anything from Panera, I'm with you. Underwhelming. I hate that place.
Yeah.
Is there someone there at Panera that makes sure that there are equal numbers of blueberries in each muffin?
It probably is. There's probably quality
is
control
there and beverage. Rothstein go to the kitchen and yell at the cook that there are too many blueberries and not enough in the other?
Is that a Boardwalk Empire or are we talking about real life?
That's casino, baby.
It's casino.
A casino, my bad.
He will get after a blueberry muffin.
I got confused of the fictional De Niro Ace Rothstein.
Arnie Rothstein.
With real life.
Arnold Rothstein.
Arnold Rothstein. Yeah. Sorry.
I was thrown off there. No, I just had the very boring.
No apology necessary, Chuck.
I had the boring Panera. Functional. Makes me feel bad. It's like Paneras exist so you don't have to go. So, like, you feel better about yourself that you're not at Wendy's?
Panera is just a place that you go to before you go eat lunch at Chipotle.
That's fine.
Right.
If that's slander on Chipotle, I won't have it.
Middle America.
I won't have it.
It's always, you won't.
John and I's biggest concern about your eating habits is that you really like Chipotle, and not ironically.
Seven to 12 times a week.
That's insane.
Chuck, what did you have
for
breakfast?
I think when we make fun of Cheek, we talk about Keith. I think the quote has been, Keith eats like a stupid little kid.
Yeah, a stupid little kid. He's like a dumb 12-year-old.
Chicken fingers, burritos.
Just burritos. Right. That's it.
Just burritos.
That's literally it. I don't touch the Cheetos.
Right. I, on the other hand, eat
the bags of candy. 12-year-old.
That's yes. Me.
Oh,
that's
you're a stupid little kid.
That's my calling card. I didn't have firm limits as a child. I had firm limits as a child.
You broke out.
Now I'm a
the shackles.
Now I'm an Adam Sandler esque maladjusted man child.
Mm-hmm.
Are
any of us not that?
That's literally exactly what all of us are. Again, that is why we are free to do a podcast.
Yes.
Chuck, you are road wearied and haggard.
Oh man,
tell just us came everything. Back.
So, a friend of mine who owns a store, it sells oddities, taxidermy, things like that. You know, devil stuff. If you want to buy a human skull,
it's called Hail. It's called Satan.
Hail Dark Aesthetics. It's H-A-I-L, and it has cool stuff.
Self parody alert.
Anyway, could you not?
I like JD.
He's a good guy. JD and Nina.
He said dark aesthetics. I'm gonna give him.
What are wonderful, wonderful people who own a great store. And anyway, he needed to pick up some taxidermy in Ohio, Northwest Ohio.
So first, he talked Chuck into investing $5,000 into a giraffe skull, and then they went and picked the stuff up.
First of all, it was a lion on a stand and two Cape Buffalo, two kudus, and a roan antler.
I know the kudu. I've seen kudu.
Some dick dicks.
I know that.
Yeah.
Those are little goats, right?
Yeah, basically.
When Chuck picked me up on the way to the podcast to ensure that I wouldn't be hours late, he had just a taxidermy turkey sitting in my seat.
Yeah. Wait, so did you say you got a lion?
Yeah, a lion. And also, yeah, but we're going to have to bleep out because my friends, it's a surprise for my friend's girlfriend.
I promise you.
Oh, that's a much better explanation. Yeah. I thought it was going to be weird to bleep it out.
It was stuffed with cocaine.
Because that's illegal. that's poaching and has been forbidden.
No. It's legal to own. It did surprise the police officer who stopped me and this heavily tattooed man.
Yeah, give him that rundown.
So we're driving back with a 7 foot tall giraffe head.
I've saw the Hangover 3. I saw
that. This is all my life is effectively a Simpsons episode.
It's a road movie.
So we picked up the head and we're driving it back, and we get pulled over as soon as we get into Tennessee, and a cop is specifically redneck, like, hey, what y'all doing? What kind of company you work for? Is this DOT? Where's your DOT paperwork? I don't know. I need to see. I'm going to search your car no matter what.
So you were pulled over by a stereotype.
Yes, I was, by someone who poops out the Constitution of the United States.
Squatty potty.
Yeah, I was like, call anyway.
So he was a severe jerk to us. And my buddy owns a store. I wasn't certain of what was legal and what wasn't. And he's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. So he says, we have taxidermy in the back. I sell it. He goes, well, I got to take a look now, don't I?
What, he volunteered that information?
He did.
That seems like Chuck ordering a pizza under duress, just doing the worst job possible.
Two panic monkeys in one Penske truck.
Like the stereotype cop pulls you over and you're saying, officer, just so you know, there's taxidermy in the back.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
you need to check that out.
None of it was illegal and we didn't have like any real drugs on us.
How did he respond to documentation? And the lion balls.
He goes, so as soon as we open the back of the Penske, it's 26 feet. Which wasn't even, we didn't even have the whole truck full. All there was this giant head. We did have the truck full earlier until we did a fantasy taxidermy draft with the guy that we bought this lot with.
That's a real thing. They took turns choosing endangered species.
None of them are endangered. All of them are legal and the paperwork says so. However,
you know, Noah and his boys were doing that on the ark.
You said it, brother.
They're like, you got to throw one off. You pick first.
Unicorns are stupid. Get rid of unicorns.
First three picks, a hippo head, a moose head that was bigger than the three of us combined, and an elk. And yeah, it was incredible. It was an incredible
run. Now, a hippo. Did you get the hippo?
There was a dick run in the fifth round. Everybody started going dick.
Well, once the first one's off the board, you gotta get one.
What,
so I hear a hippo. Now, hippos can a hippo take out that bear and the revenant?
Hippos defeat all other
hippos
animals.
Hippos beat everything, right? That's hippo, the thing.
Hippo uber alles.
Mm-hmm.
Those pachyderms kill. Their teeth are giant.
Man, that video.
And they're aggressive.
And they're in the water, and they just they come up underneath you, and they just swallow things.
They're like killer pontoon boats.
Yeah. So
what did the cop do when he saw the tech? Was he like Augustus Gloop when he went into, you know, Willy Wonka's chocolate factory?
He went from, so the doors close, and he's like, I'm going to find a thing, you know, and he's a dickhead, to the doors opening, and he turns into a six-year-old. That's literally.
He's like, this is amazing.
Who can't understand it. Is like, did you shoot it? Did you make it happen on your own? It was super.
They start licking the walls. The taxidermy berries taste like taxidermy berries.
Then he just hands me back my ID. Doesn't run. I could have had. I actually probably do have.
I guarantee you, you had in the van.
You have to black that out too.
The secret to not getting busted for drugs is having a van full of taxidermy.
Little did he know that giraffe was stuffed with coke.
We are way into the episode, and we're still, you know, in the wilderness as we are talking. If you tell a cop you have a truck full of taxidermy, in my mind, I'm now calling in the dogs to sniff all your taxidermy to see what's inside your taxidermy.
JD and Chuck's instincts were correct. They knew that this silly hillbilly would open the back of that Penske
Tennessee
truck
hillbilly.
And in his mind, a whole new world. Mm-hmm. Don't you dare close your eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, he was into
the best question was, the cop went, is anything in here illegal? And we went, no.
All right, then.
And he believed
just
us.
The
be on your way back to taxidermy land.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, that's exciting. So yeah, we're glad you made it back. All right.
Thanks.
Those were our breakfasts, I guess.
Barbecue and giraffe loins.
Perfect. And the underwhelming Panera. All right. After our breakfast, we move to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right anything that we might have gotten wrong in any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
Lakers fans, podcast listeners.
Yes.
I promised not to watch you any longer.
You mean the fans?
I promised not to watch Lakers games any longer.
Well, that was your resolution.
Well, I broke it.
You broke it.
I've been watching the Lakers again. And it's a combination of Schadenfreude and also I'm getting into D'Angelo Russell. Is anybody else getting into him?
Not Byron Scott.
Yeah, that is true. Unless his hand is forced, he still doesn't really play him. But I like the way he runs the offense, honestly. And his passes are so smart. The guy knows how to distribute the ball well. I don't know why he's not playing more, but I'm getting interested in him. Now, Julius Randle, not so much.
So you are, you're apologizing
for breaking my promise.
For breaking your promise of watching the Lakers. Right. But you're going to keep watching or you're not going to?
I'm going to keep watching.
Oh.
It's a dumpster fire that I enjoy. I don't understand what Byron Scott's doing ever.
Well,
he puts in Lou Williams like in defensive situations, which that is some sub, like sub. Who would you say is the worst coach you can think of off the top of your head?
Byron Scott. I said, did you need me to dig deeper? I tried.
I was going to make a Doug Moe joke because he didn't care about defense, but I felt like it was too dated.
I felt like Mike Ivoroni wasn't great in his brief stint.
That's some Grizz epilogue. Deep cut right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Del Negro got a bad rap, but that man won 57 games.
With a hell of a team, though.
Yeah. So
Del Negro was bad.
I'm with you that Byron Scott is one of the worst we've seen.
Have you contacted Byron Scott about your taxidermy? He is a zoological enthusiast.
You ever been to the zoo?
Has he been to the zoo?
You ever see the giraffe? You ever see the dick?
Marmoset?
You did kudu?
So, one thing about the Lakers, they're in that weird position of they don't want to win.
Right.
But they're now starting to win some games because, one, we have to say it. This is not my apology, but Kobe Bryant is playing fine.
Right.
He's making shots. He's shooting better. Lou Williams is actually playing well. Like Kobe being out some games, maybe he found his rhythm.
Right.
Larry Nance, that looks like a great pick.
I love Larry Nance.
I remember in the draft, that was a surprise pick, a reach. And in non-college basketball watching, Keith didn't know anything. But now that I've seen him play, this guy looks like a natural for the NBA. Good player.
They started rolling out Julius Randle and Larry Nance at the same time sometimes. And the issue is they don't understand where they're supposed to be on the court. But they're still making as many positive plays as they can without that understanding. Like the basketball IQ is not yet there. But, I mean, that can be learned.
And I've actually been impressed by what I've seen. You said you were a little underwhelmed, but I've actually kind of liked what I've seen of Julius Randle. I like the ball handling four. He's not natural, but it seems like, I don't know, I see the potential. And I like when he plays. He gets really good rebounding numbers.
I would not be surprised if he ended up being Aldridge-esque as a ceiling.
Oh, wow. That's very high.
Yeah, but I also think that the floor is very low. Like he could never turn into that player because he takes a lot of mid-range shots.
He does.
And he doesn't understand the game like Aldridge does yet. And then his defense is very like all based on energy, which goes away with time. You know,
I mean, if he develops that traditional what do we call it, right-handed layup, I think his ceiling is raised. Maybe quite. Although he did, I know he had one because Twitter got real excited.
His floor is like poor man's Greg Monroe, which really is what is that? Is that Daryl Arthur?
No, I was going to, I don't know. I was like a less athletic, less shooting Michael Beasley.
Like a third Morai.
Although I think I'm being.
More Morrises.
I'm being left-handed racist on that Michael Beasley comparison, I think.
Oh.
You're a leftist, that's for sure.
Always have been. My apology is, I think, to the Sixers in their use of Robert Covington. Last week, I was kind of upset about how in their race to mediocrity, they had now were not playing one of their guys who was an asset where they actually could have traded him to another team probably for a first round pick. Like he was a hot commodity, and I know fans especially were very into him with his, as you said, the thieving and heaving, a 3-point shooter with great steal numbers. However,
not so much dribbling though.
Cannot dribble. However, if they view Robert Covington as a part of their future or someone they want to keep, it does make sense to me that maybe when Colangelo comes in, he's like, this carte blanche, just play everybody all the minutes and let them do whatever they want, is actually not teaching them how to be good NBA players. So this is my theory. Maybe my theory is with Robert Covington, they're like, this guy, let's be realistic, on a good team, this guy's a role player. And we need to give him experience playing spot minutes, like coming in and playing 15 to 18 minutes and seeing if he can perform. So maybe, again, I'm giving the Sixers and their process, which has been a dumpster fire.
The procedural.
I'm giving them some benefit of the doubt in thinking that perhaps maybe the idea is, oh, let's use our boy Bob Covington in this backup role where, hey, you have to come in, you have to hit a couple shots and then come out. Let's see if you can do it. Let's get you used to playing more restrictive minutes like you might actually find on a regular NBA team as opposed to a team that would play the likes of, you know, Hollis Thompson, Jeremy Grant, who I both like, you know, 30 minutes or whatever, like just giving them free rein to learn. So maybe it's a part of the process where step A was play every second round draft pick as many minutes as they can handle. Maybe step two or B, can't remember how I started, is to
two steps
is to now give them, you know, more of a role player time to get used to coming off the bench and being ready to perform. So I apologize to the Sixers on my weird theory that maybe you're doing something right.
May I get tangential?
Yes.
So let's pivot to the other laughingstock franchise, Nets. Interested in Jerry Colangelo as their next GM. What in the name of blue hell did he do to merit consideration for another job?
I believe he and Coach K went on a publicity tour of the world the last 10 years.
So did the big Ruski see that and get real?
I don't know. Let's table that Nets talk because, okay, man, I want to tear into that. I know, although honestly, it has been the glut of the basketball podcast world has been the Nets talk. But
Chuck, who do you want to apologize to besides cryptozoological findings and extinct and rare creatures?
Well, last week I said something silly when Jimmy Butler had his 40-point half.
Right.
And I said it was weird.
42 points according 42, to... 42... No. 41 points according to John.
John said
I had some issues there.
We talked about it, and I said it was weird to get a Jimmy Butler heat check text. And that makes it sound like I don't think Jimmy Butler's good. He is really freaking good. But 40 points and a half is insane. So that was a weird thing. And I think more important, what I really meant was that it's weird that Chicago has... And done this kind of seamlessly, rejiggered their roster around this player. And
they're still in the process because they're trying to move some of those bigs right now.
Right. So I think it's interesting that they stumbled across Jimmy Butler. Kind of, he wasn't a top 3-4 pick. Was he a second rounder?
Or I want to say he was in the 21 maybe?
So he wasn't a lottery pick.
Right.
I'm sure the Grizzlies could have drafted him and did not.
That's the whole thing. I feel like we're seeing... The NBA draft, I mean, it's a crapshoot. All sports leagues drafts are pretty much crapshoots, but you're getting this thing where it's like the top couple that you know, and then these guys who are just insane workers. And right. I don't know what it is where you, like, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is a very pull you up by your bootstraps fantasy. But in my mind, that whole Jimmy Butler thing about, like, whatever the quote is about they had a TV in their apartment. He was living with a guy, but they got rid of it because they didn't want to watch TV. They just wanted to go to the gym in the morning and then go eat and then go to the gym in the afternoon.
No, I think you're onto something.
And it's just working. It's
here's
just...
another thing. I think teams should pay more attention to stuff like that. Because, for instance, Kawhi Leonard, late first rounder, right? He couldn't shoot when he got into the league.
Right.
He could not shoot. When he was at San Diego State, he could not shoot. He had terrible numbers from three and mid-range. Now... Best shooter in the NBA from three.
Right.
The best.
Statistically.
So that's how you can... Yeah,
we're not saying correct. He's better than Steph, but yeah.
but you can say he came into the league and worked his ass off. And that's the stuff and they can actually look
at. And then you have a guy like Paul George. It's a very similar thing. Right. Where you look at these people and you're like, you know what? That guy only does basketball.
Right.
That guy does not hang out.
Right.
That guy doesn't even go to dinner. That guy is just doing basketball. And you see the guy like Jimmy Butler, who after years in the league... All of a sudden, just like, you're now amazing.
And really, coming out of college, what's the difference between a guy like Paul George and Devin George? You look at stuff like work ethic and like what they're putting into it. So, like, I actually get like the GMs who are doing kind of the character profiles and getting more into what makes them tick as opposed to the typical sabermetric type stuff that we're usually into, the advanced stat stuff. I'm kind of swayed towards it because of stuff like Jimmy Butler and Chuck.
Are you guys trying to tell me something? You want me to prepare more for the podcast? Is this what this is?
I think if you were the Jimmy Butler, if you were the Jimmy Butler of the podcast, sell your TV.
No, this is who I am. I'm the Tony Allen of the podcast.
Cut out the taxidermy.
First team.
I'm scrappy. Yeah. I refuse to work on my craft.
You have a murder van.
You have a murder van. You refuse to be constrained by traditional rules and ways of playing.
Mm-hmm.
Horribly distracted by cheerleaders.
And I have...
like to mingle with them.
That's false. He doesn't know where he's walking. He's just walking. True. He's so focused, he's just walking through them.
But there are some players who never, developed a shot. You hope that...
They're the lazy bums. We're reverse.
Rubios and Tony Allens and Rondos who just never really...
I'm just blown away by whatever this level of athlete is, where they're extreme physical condition, and then with this passion that all I'm going to do is this one thing.
Well, it's
and we're seeing the fruits of these players.
It's passion fruits.
They're sociopath tendencies. It's the ones. It's just like any, high pressure situation in Wall Street or something like that, where there's a bunch of people. The ones who rise to the top are the sociopaths. Michael Jordan is probably one of the biggest sociopaths.
I'm going to disagree with your Wall Street.
This turned.
Why?
He just called Jimmy Butler a sociopath.
No, I'm saying the people who want to destroy their competition.
Right. It's the people
people who are friendly competitors. I don't think LeBron James is a sociopath. I think he's a competitor. I think Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant are sociopaths. Like in a technical, clinical sense, have less care for people than the average
person. Let's take another sojourn into the world of tangents.
we are tangent
on your trip.
We are deep. Uh-huh.
Did you happen to go through Akron, Ohio, birthplace of one LeBron James?
You guys didn't let me.
One Eggs Benedict.
You guys didn't let me apologize. Did I apologize to him already?
You were trying to apologize to Jimmy Butler.
Oh, I was, wasn't I?
Yeah, maybe you should apologize to the city of Akron.
So when we drove through Akron, we went to Warren, Ohio to a sketchy warehouse where we were shorted a moose head. There were supposed to be two moose heads. And there was a
If I had a nickel for every time I heard that, Chuck.
I mean, when
shorted a moose head. You drive Warren,
9 hours.
Ohio.
You drive 9 hours. You expect two moose heads. Two moose heads were on the eBay post. You get there. There's one moose head and a caribou. Thinking we don't know the difference.
Caribou.
A caribou and a moose. Get out of here.
Was caribou's noses are like way. Their proboscis is way smaller.
Was Greg Monroe involved at all?
No.
No.
He was not. But we went in through Akron.
Through Akron.
It was a snowy, awful night.
That is the LeBron James, your right. former.
Former.
We've used the analogy of the girl, the high school girlfriend, the high school sweetheart.
I'm a you Heat fan. You're a scorned lover. I'm a scorned Heat fan who hates LeBron, and I was in his hometown.
You are now anathema to him.
And I peed on where he's from. I peed on Akron, Ohio.
On his.
No, I just picked a patch of grass. I had to pee anyway.
So not a toilet on the ground.
It was on the floor. Yeah, no, but it was snowing.
It was his childhood home. His childhood bed.
Not his literal childhood bed. No, it was in his.
Was it
hometown.
Was it at least near? Like when you get to the sign.
I mean, I was just like, "Hey, we're in Akron. I should pee on it." So no, I did.
Well played.
Okay.
Well put.
As long as the thought process was there.
Mm-hmm. The thought process
that was hour 10 our first leg.
I just don't want this to be circumstantial.
And actually, our listeners right now, they're experiencing hour what? 70?
Yeah, I probably slept 3 hours.
So this is probably, this is hour 70. That was only 60 hours ago. It's
yeah,
not
guys,
bad.
If I'm not on my game tonight, if you sound...
Oh, Chuck, you're there, Chuck.
Chuck here, and okay. I have been very busy, and Keith has a small child who screams relentlessly.
He's been crying since we got here.
He doesn't like John Warchuk.
Keith's kid just looks at me and cries now.
That's what all children do to me.
There was an episode, I held him for the entire episode.
That was back in his sweet days.
He's no longer sweet.
One of my many nicknames.
He's now learned about the world.
One of my nicknames changed. That I've had over the years from friends who know me is the bad man because children and dogs hate me.
Oh.
That was a long wrap up to our breakfast in bed apologies. After that, gentlemen, let's talk about something positive.
Mm.
What was your steak and eggs best thing?
What was yours, Keith? Let's see you get it.
I have so many. It might be last week during our podcast taping.
Right.
During our Game of Scones segment, Elijah Millsap got cut while we were actually doing a podcast taping.
It was a beautiful thing.
It was maybe one of our, it could have been our best live moment ever. However.
That's really sad.
I think we're a recorded thing that we then we edit and then we post it up a couple hours later. So actually something breaking. I mean, how many NBA podcasts mentioned Elijah Millsap last week? I'm going to say one.
I feel one. I feel like
it
one
was
is
us,
the right answer.
And he happened to get cut the day we mentioned him. I love it. That was exciting. All right. However, my actual steak and eggs, I'm going to say Carmelo Anthony got a technical foul. Standing up for the god Porzingis.
Mm.
Porzingis, someone got in Porzingis' face. Carmelo shoved him up in his. It was one of those
small player Porzingis bucked on, by the way.
I don't even remember.
It was a smallish player.
It was like a week ago. I don't know which game it was. But it made me so. It was one of those. I love in sports the camaraderie, the fraternity. A lot of times, I love it when a big man hands it to his point guard, like, you're the dribbler.
Yeah.
You know, so part of that kind of warms me. Like, oh, they're teammates. Like, oh, he knows he shouldn't dribble. Like, come help me out. Like, oh, I'll give you the ball. So, but then there's also that fraternity of you're a rookie. I'm the veteran all-star. And when someone was pushing on 19-year-old Porzingis, Carmelo stood up for him, and it warmed my heart. And also, as we court the large market that is New York, like, maybe we should talk about the Knicks a little more.
Well, you're stepping into my bests.
Well, I would say they're decent. Aaron Aflalo could have been an apology.
Aaron Aflalo got hot as a mug.
Aaron Aflalo has been playing great. But yeah, so my best thing is Carmelo stepping up for his little brother. He's taking that little he's the adult dick taking that baby dick under his they don't have wings.
Do you have to
Dick is an animal.
Are you okay?
No.
I wanted to be sure you knew.
My best thing is Carmelo Anthony getting injured and letting me see what the Knicks might look like without him. And seeing Kristaps and Jerry and Grant run the show and getting a little excited.
That's almost too harsh.
Getting a little frothy.
Because one of the funny things we've experienced in the last couple weeks is...
Talking about my penis getting frothy.
One of the good things we've experienced in the last couple weeks is the...
A foam.
Carmelo... is Carmelo playing the right way? He's getting credit for it, which is hilarious because he's been in the league for like 12 years. But he started to pass the, and I was like, oh, look how good the Knicks are when Carmelo passes. You're like, well, why didn't he?
Or hey, look how good the Knicks are when Carmelo gets injured.
There you go. That's your take.
But it's fun. Like, I feel like the Knicks like have like an interesting roster that you can get into.
They have a bright-ish future.
And they're beating some decent teams in the last week.
Yeah, they're one of the 13 East teams in the run.
Giving the Hawks the business. Come on.
Own the Hawks.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like everyone keeps talking about how the Knicks windows closes with Carmelo's career winding down. Is that true? They may have a future superstar, and I think that they have some good young players. They've jettisoned the flotsam and jetsam like Tim Hardaway Jr., and they've picked up guys like Jerian Grant, who seems like a talented player. I mean, if they don't play a bunch of like Jose Calderon types with Carmelo Anthony, we can actually see what they have.
But even Calderon, I mean, Calderon is, I don't know, serviceable. Like he's teams could use him. He's fine. They clearly need a point guard.
Right. Well, I think that's what we're finding out with Jerian Grant. Maybe they have one.
Yeah.
Knicks looking good. Chuck, you got a steak and eggs?
Here's my best. In three career games versus Cleveland, Andrew Wiggins is averaging 31.6 points on 58% shooting, and he's shooting 63% from three.
He had a hell of a game.
That's not the best part.
Career high.
The guy that they traded him for is photoshopping his head on Instagram posts.
That's pretty funny.
That's funny.
What's happening?
So Kevin Love had to photoshop his own head onto an Instagram post of all of other important Cavs players.
I need you to explain this story to me better.
Okay.
There's a
photo of Cavaliers, including LeBron James, Kyrie Irving.
Let's say the cool Cavaliers are hanging out, and there's a photo of them.
There's like six of them.
So Tristan Thompson and co.
Right.
Yeah.
Bron.
Is this a passive-aggressive Photoshop maneuver?
Maybe Rich Paul represented type right. folks or something.
So then Kevin Love posts on his Instagram.
I almost said Paul Ryan.
That picture of those men, but with Kevin Love's head photoshopped on one of the bodies.
Did State Farm help him?
The cracks are showing. The cracks. So
this is my best. Andrew Wiggins absolutely turning into a destructive force against Cleveland. And the early, and I'm calling it, the Cavs are never going to win a championship.
The Cavs are going to win a championship like soon.
I'm calling it. Kevin Love he's just not happy. And he's going to ruin it. He's going to just submarine it.
He's playing very happy.
I got to cite Conrad Kazmarek points out that the Cavs in the last calendar year, 41-4 when Kyrie Irving, Love, and LeBron all play.
Jesus.
Which I will add would be more impressive if the Golden State Warriors weren't 36-2 full stop.
You know, everything lives in the penumbra of whatever it is the Warriors are doing. Chuck, if you would, for the drinking game players at home, will you please stab my beer?
Chuck is now stabbing a beer.
John just like makes drinking games up, but it's not even a drinking
that
game.
Life is a drinking
game. Yeah. John has his priorities, and that is drinking games.
Absolutely.
Those were our steak and eggs, cream of wheat, gentlemen. What's the worst thing you saw this week?
Well, besides like giraffe heads and like dick brains, Chuck. What did you see that was so rough?
Oh, my worst. Shout out to the Blazers for accidentally leaving one of their better players off of the active list.
Oh, Terry.
Oh, yeah. Shout out assistant. Whoever does that.
This was
Colin Stotts.
I believe it was 6 days ago or last week. The Clippers were playing the Blazers.
Oh, yeah.
Doc made him pay.
What happened was they had McCollum listed as inactive and Montero listed as...
Montero?
Yeah, as active. But
I will be honest. Who? I don't know a Montero.
Are you confusing him with Hawks center Wilson Tavares? Mm-hmm. Tavares?
That's why.
They trade him? Who's Montero?
I don't know.
Is that the guy who's saying,
this is how we do it?
Montero Jordan.
Man, I watch so much NBA. I pride myself on knowing all the ins and outs.
I watch a lot of Blazers because they come on late.
Trailblazers signed guard Luis Montero.
Luis Montero.
Wow.
Yeah. Neil O'Shea getting one over on us. I apologize to our fans right there not knowing.
Let you down.
So this is what happens.
And our Blazers fans not letting us know about him.
The trainer gives the coach a sheet, and the active players are circled. Right. The coach signs it, and it goes.
No.
Somebody miscircled McCollum for Montero.
I love it.
Because probably before that was the first, you know,
They tried to correct it, but it doesn't make sense.
The Clippers personnel was in front of the locker room pregame, acting like, "Wait, CJ McCollum's not on this." So,
if you've ever seen Doc Rivers dispute a foul call, it's clear he's never going to let anything go.
Well, two things. One, I love the dark humor of bureaucracy.
Yes. Right.
Be it Brazil.
Right.
Or even the double.
Right. In the loop.
Yeah. Like that stuff always cracks me up.
White people movies.
Two, as much as I dislike Doc Rivers and how upset he gets, he should receive no guff for this.
No, I applaud him. He's almost my best of the week.
Yeah, this is absolutely the right thing to do. I mean, I've played in church league games where they give you a technical foul if your number's wrong, and like the jerseys are pennies with tape on them, and you're like, can that be a one? How about a zero? Whatever, just put whatever you want. So I think it's funny. I like that there's little rules you have to fill the paper out in this information age, and it's funny that they left CJ McCollum off.
This is the great thing is that roster changes can be made, but they have to be made with the opposing team's coach present, and the Clippers sent no one out to allow the roster
gamesmanship.
It's gorgeous.
Tomfoolery.
So yeah, that was my worst.
That's your worst.
That's like, how do you do that? No,
it's a massive screw up.
82 games a year you do this, and you've been doing it for some time.
Some poor intern who has dreams of being a GM one day he's probably committed suicide over that.
Mm-hmm.
He's been let go.
Kari. He did. He gone.
He did. My cream of wheat, worst of week. Man, so many to choose from. I kind of want to talk about the NFL.
Very well.
That Bengals-Steelers game bummed me out.
That was the greatest boring game ever.
It was so boring.
It's like a WWF match.
I had no interest on who even won, but just the way that the Bengals got two penalties and their thing about their whole fan base being so upset, it crushed me.
Vontaze Burfict came out there with a chair. Well, that's Vontaze Burfict's
anyway,
music.
Anyway, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about the NFL. But
well, you can use it to promote our rabbles.
I will say, so we are going to rabble the NFC Championship game. Coming up, actually, we're going to rabble the. We'll tell you about that a little later, I guess. Well, or now, we're going to rabble the MLK Pelicans Grizzlies game. So this coming Monday on January 18th.
If you work at a bank or the post office, you can watch it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Or a school, Chuck.
I forgot that too.
That's 2 p.m.
If you're an artist like Chuck, John, and myself, we have Mondays off sometimes.
If you're a bon vivant,
right. Anyway, we'll be on. You go to rabble.tv.
If you're on the dole,
or you download the app. We will be calling the Grizzlies Pelicans game on the 18th. We're also going to do. We have done an NFL game before on Rabble, and it's just like you watch the TV and then we do our thing.
And
follow us there.
Just you get to mute the announcers. It's wonderful.
It's great. Yeah, the Rabble is great. Just to be clear, there has been NFL news. We are not moving our podcast to LA. So do not let those rumors.
We asked about it last week, and they turned us down. Actually,
they don't want us.
Smartest man in the world, Jeff Fisher.
I also came up with another
long con Fisher.
another use when I was at the bar, being sad again, just generally sad that it seemed like a very harsh way for a team to lose a playoff game with the back to back personal fouls.
God, it was awesome.
But I did. I opened up the Rabble app, and they because you know if you're at most bars in Nashville, no sound.
Yeah,
so you know what's going on.
It's a white person singing a black person's song.
So I actually turned on the Rabble to hear some person with 4,000 people listening to them.
Hell
and
yeah.
They were funny, and nice. It was good. They got me the information. But anyway, let's forget all that. No more NFL.
Give me a cream of wheat.
I'll give you one.
Yeah.
Darren Collison.
Yeah.
Darren Collison came up with what I will describe as a clutch air ball.
Are you sure it wasn't an assist?
In a tight game, the Kings-Mavs played a doozy of a game. You may remember that Darren Williams hit a game winner at the buzzer.
I do.
A three-pointer from the corner. Our Rick Carlisle, however, Warlock coach, made a mistake, everyone agrees, with a differential of 1.5 seconds between the shot clock and game clock, chose not to foul.
That's a huge mistake.
They were going to play it out.
We call that a Calipari in the college realm.
So Darren Collison... All this man had, the Kings played it perfectly. They took the shot with like 2 seconds left in the game. All Darren Collison has to do is draw iron from 17 feet.
Nice.
Airballed. A clutch air ball. So now the clock goes back to where the shot clock was. 1.4 seconds are left. Mavs inbound. One pump fake. Darren Williams clutch shot from the corner. So Darren Williams, you are my cream of wheat. Worst of week.
That's not just an air ball. That's the worst air ball.
That was atrocious. That's a game-losing air. Like, literally, from 17 feet, NBA player, if you hit the rim, your team wins. And he did not.
In theory, if he just throws the ball as hard as he can at the rim, not trying a shot, but just trying to hit the rim like a baseball pitcher, he makes a better play. Like, making no attempt to make
the
shot.
You can come up with any hypothetical you want, John.
Okay.
Hit the rim.
All right.
Do anything you want. The
rim is the goal.
The easiest way to hit the rim from 16 feet is to do the jump shot you've made it into the NBA with.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You would think.
He might have practiced that
anyway.
Well.
That's
still probably a better shot than Rajon Rondo would have taken.
That's my worst. Yeah. You got to. What's your nasty? What's your cream of wheat?
Worst of the week. When I thought Kenneth Faried had died.
Oh, with the neck?
Yes.
The hit? Yeah.
People need.
I like that you called him Keith Faried for a second.
Yeah. Manimal.
Yeah.
That's really unfortunate, too, because I've followed him since Morehead State. I saw him play in the OVC Championships right here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Nice.
He's one of my favorite players, although I realize he's not as good as his numbers sometimes show. I get it.
Defensive.
Bit of a problem child.
Deficiencies.
But he looks like the Predator. That ticks a box that I'm into. Number two, he runs as fast as he can and throws his entire body with reckless abandon at the rim.
Like classic Birdman?
And then what makes it even worse, I believe it was a Daryl Arthur elbow that almost ended him.
Yeah.
That's his teammate.
Darrell is preferred.
Darrell.
I guess so, but I mean.
I thought we were Daryl Griffith, Daryl Armstrong.
Darrell Green.
Yeah.
Dorrell
Fastest
Wright.
Fastest man in the history of the NFL.
Isn't it Dorrell Wright?
Dorrell Wright, who should play for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, but he's in China.
God almighty.
Taking that shark HGH.
A little German shark HGH.
Yeah, the German shark human growth
hormone. But luckily, luckily Kenneth Faried's okay. Played the next day.
But here's the thing. Twitter made me think he was going to die. And that's my problem. Like, Twitter's response to injuries, we need to develop as a community. I'm sure I've done it myself. Let's have a bit more of a wait and see response to things.
Is it this millennial immediacy problem? Do you and Sarver need to get together and try to end this?
I'm glad you brought Sarver up.
Here we go.
Because I respect his ideology. I still don't really know what a millennial means and don't know if I know any. So
I think I am one, technically.
I think it's just if you're born like what, mid-80s or after?
I think if you, I think that's what it is. So what I'm like 83. So
no, you're not a millennial.
I'm not Generation X.
If you're a millennial, that makes me a millennial.
Well, then we're in this weird place.
What are you? You a millennial?
You're not Generation X.
No, I am not.
Isn't there a Generation Y, though?
I think I'm like 3 years older than you guys, and I'm not a millennial.
You're Generation X. You're like the 10.
Because you had the Reality Bites soundtrack.
Yeah. And you had puka shell necklaces.
You've seen Singles.
I've been alive for, I think, like 6 decades.
You Is play that right? Frisbee golf. You're definitely.
I play ultimate frisbee, Chuck.
Sorry, my bad.
Not frisbee golf.
Dude, that's a sick burn, Chuck.
You correct people about this frisbee sport that you play.
Well,
that's what I meant to say.
So, Chuck, when someone comes to you with the you play frisbee golf and they're confused that with ultimate, uh-huh. I assume they're 60. Okay. So I'm confused with someone younger than me. Doesn't
right,
know that.
But, no one who has Twitter does. No, I lied.
Look, there's Twitter, can we just calm down and don't make me think Kenneth Faried's paralyzed?
Right.
Yeah. Pump
that's
your brakes.
So that's your hot take. All you people with your firing those tweets off, slow down. Slow down and think about what the people are.
There is nothing more emasculating than when you say something and then Keith goes, "There's your hot take."
It seemed very, pardon the interruption-y. Like, we gotta slow down.
I called two of the greatest NBA players of all time a sociopath today, so.
That's fine.
Hot take.
Let's move, this
lukewarm
is
lukewarm.
This
take.
Has been, as Chuck ends his 70-hour,
teetering.
Drug taxidermy binge.
I'll say, the taxidermy binge, and while John ends his 72-hour breakfast bender, let's real quick run through some, Coxit. Back to Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts. We tabled it earlier. Did you guys have a chance to see Mikhail Prokhorov have a press conference where the $9 billion Russian oligarch fielded questions from interns and bloggers making 30 grand. The look on his face, the patience, and then, like, I'm reading all, I've seen enough movies, and back in my day when I read enough books, where I'm creating these entire fictional fantasies of what's going on behind his eyes when someone's like, so is Billy King going to remain in the organization doing what? Is he going to advise on the next GM?
And no, like, Jerry Colangelo is new Caesar.
So it was just him being like,
he is the Kaiser.
Like I make as like from the time I start farting to stop farting, right. I've made as much money as you make in a year.
Right.
And he's like, no, I don't, you know, I don't think that I don't think a GM and coach should be the same. And he's actually patiently answering these questions. And I get the feeling that like these guys are trying to like trick him or trying to get a soundbite. He did pretty well. I mean, he said some things where he's like, I hope we're a contender again next year, where I think people took that out of context. Like, you think you're a contender this year or other years. He seemed pretty intelligent, but I was just entertaining with myself thinking like, this man has ended lots of people.
For a ruthless Moscow-centered trained KGB thug.
Right.
He's pretty good with the media.
He is good with the media.
And he did have a contender team that people were talking about when they threw together the skeleton zombie remnants of the Boston Big Three. Yeah,
fake contender, but they got second round.
Oh, you know? I remember. I was
49 wins, maybe.
I was a Heat fan then and still am. But I remember people talking about those Nets teams actually having a chance to beat Miami.
His best, for me, the best quote was him talking about when they said, like, reports are that Billy King is going to help you find the new GM. Is that accurate? And he's like, if Billy King has suggestions, he can send them to me as a friend. But no, he has been reassigned. Like that.
And then I'm thinking, in Siberia.
Yeah, he's in the gulag. He's been Siberia workforce.
But right. The Nets have reached out to Tom Thibodeau.
I heard, yeah.
Per NBA sources. So I don't know. Maybe it's maybe that'll be a good thing. He'll turn.
You know. I think Tibbs will work wonders with Shane Larkin.
It's a tough job for a man of Tibbs's pedigree, because it's a
rebuild. It's sorts.
I mean, with the salary cap, you think they'll have room next year, but it's still they're not going to be great. You know,
Tibbs is going to give Brook Lopez 49 minutes a game until his feet fall off, like turn into pumpkins. He's done.
I think
that'll kill everyone they have.
I also think Tibbs likes. I think he likes playing out his contract. I think he likes the Bulls still paying him.
Yeah.
So if he takes money,
Tibbs likes nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm saying one thing he does enjoy is screwing over the Bulls.
Yeah.
And so like he's not going to take McHale's money because then that means the Bulls don't have to pay him. I think he's like no. I want
Tibbs is going to take over.
The Reinsdorf money.
Tibbs is going to take over the Nets and immediately trade for Taj Gibson and play him 50 minutes a day.
I know one of the big questions for me with Brooklyn is Brook Lopez that dude? Is he the dude that you build? Is that a 50-win center?
No.
You know, you build a franchise. So that team's
But he's
stuck.
There.
The only people who've ever asked that question are Chuck and Shaq when Shaq's trying to throw shade at Dwight Howard.
Well, if that's the case, which I don't think it is, I think he's like a Greg Monroe tops at his best, like in cancer.
He's better than Greg Monroe.
But he's not somebody you can build a franchise around. He's not a Hassan Whiteside.
He's like a slightly better Robin Lopez.
He's like an offensively gifted Mark Gasol. Oh.
Slam!
We got to stop podcasting, you guys.
I'm really down.
Just foreshadowed.
That is a teaser to the Grizzlies epilogue presented by Fan Essentials. That is
this won't be a Grizzlies epilogue. This will be a Grizzlies Rock'em Sock'em affair.
We're gonna fight. I'm very down on Mark Gasol's numbers.
You small sample size, some bitch.
I'm gonna bring some small sample size. No, I don't. The thing I like about the one thing I do enjoy about the Nets being in this, like. I don't dislike the Nets. I'm very neutral on the Nets. Like, I'm totally fine with them. The idea of a team that's not that good, who has no immediate future draft picks, to me, it strikes me something like a European football club, where your goal is just to win games now.
Dude, go look at who owns their draft picks, because it ain't them.
No, I know. I'm saying the idea of them not having a draft pick for like 3 years is intriguing to me because they're only avenue, and they have no, like, you can't really trade Thad Young for anything. You can't trade Brook Lopez for much. Like, Joe Johnson's nothing. And I don't, like, it. So to me, they're in the situation of like, let's just see how many games we can win for the next couple of years just for the enjoyment of our fans. And that's such a foreign thing to the NBA, where the NBA's like, let's blow it up, let's get picks, let's get future assets. So to me, I'm like, the comparison of like, it's like Stoke City in the Premier League.
Right.
We're just going to try to win games and be mid-table.
Right.
So like I do, part of me as a sporting fan enjoys the fact that they're in this conundrum where tanking doesn't help them. Because tanking is bad, I think, for the product. So tanking doesn't help the Nets. So they're just going to be like we're not going to trade Thad Young just to trade him, because getting the 28th pick in a draft isn't that great for us. It's better to have Thad Young sign for 4 years because he's okay.
You must remember, Mikhail Prokhorov at heart is a basketball fan.
Yeah.
And this team is his toy.
Yeah.
He's not trying to build a dynasty to make... This is like the 16th largest company he owns.
Right.
So
he's got a smelting company that rakes in way more.
Jay-Z owned 1% of the...
I think it was less than
1%. He owned 1% of 1%.
Yeah, he owned like
$300,000 share.
He rap game parlor tricks.
Basically bought half a floor seat.
Yeah.
Ashley Manning gets more of the Grizzlies' ownership mailed to her by...
JD.
That's a weird reference. I did see that. So Lionel Hollins, I don't know, our former prickly bear, Lionel Hollins, I feel bad for him.
He gone.
I don't feel like he's ever underachieved.
No, he's a good coach.
His teams have all been fine, but I feel like his contrarianism and his like kind of being opposed to analytics is
going to... Get your dump button ready. He's an asshole. Lionel Hollins is an asshole.
Yeah.
So he's never gonna have long. I bet the Grizzlies' tenure, I bet that will be his longest tenure.
I'd like to see him get somewhere else, but I don't have any idea where that would be. There is a hilarious petition in Memphis to bring him to the Memphis University to coach the college team. Lionel is on the record for saying college is horrible.
Right,
he won't watch it.
Yeah, so, I was about to say, Lionel Hollins was the guy who used to like pretty much eschew the entire draft process because he would not watch college basketball.
Yeah,
I think, you know, it's funny because I definitely poo pooed Lionel along with the rest of the Grizzlies nation when his time ran out. I think he's a better coach than Dave Yeager.
Could probably. I mean, we talked about this at length in the Grizzlies epilogue. It's like, I think Yeager's a great play diagrammer.
Right.
But I feel like he grasps at straws with lineups and his leadership, probably sub Lionel.
Tibby, you guys, Memphis needs Tibby. That would be the grit grind Tibb style.
In a New York heartbeat.
It would destroy people. I would love to see that. But then your team would, everyone would die.
Zach Randolph 52 minutes a game. It's going to keep increasing by one. I'm 11 points over Jimmy Butler's half point
total.
I feel like we need to talk about it. So I think we did it, boys and girls. Let's get to our awards segment of the evening. We're gonna get into some heavy Grizzlies talk in the Grizzlies epilogue. But our awards segment, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, is awarded weekly to the worst performance in a box score. We have three nominees. Honorary shout out to all the folks who threw up a 1 for 10 this week.
Shout out. It's cute, but it ain't right.
Belmont's own Ian Clark.
Oh. Hey, hey, hey.
Charlie Villanueva, Marcus Smart.
But he got to the line.
CJ Miles. All you guys 1 for 10. Not quite good enough. All right, we have three official nominees, but literally one was just because we needed a third. Damian Lillard in the loss to the Clippers. 7 for 25. He did fill it up to the tune of 20 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. So not really any consideration.
That's just a Dame Lillard line.
But 18 misses, nothing to sneer at.
That's just a Dame Lillard
pretty good
line.
All right, our real, it comes down to these guys. Dwayne Wade, and a loss to Utah.
Chuck.
3 for 17, 8 points, 4 turnovers, 5 boards, 4 assists.
Well-rounded box score.
That is atrocious.
He's an all-time great.
Or Jeremy Lin, who could not find the range as the Hornets are suddenly struggling, free-falling. They might have gotten that...
Regression towards the mean.
They might have gotten that Keith kiss of death when I complimented them too effusively, and now they are struggling. Jeremy Lin, 0 for 9, 2 points, 2 turnovers, 2 assists, 1 rebound. So, I'm going to cast my hat in first this time.
I'm Dwayne Wade. I'm Dwayne Wading.
Well, John beat me to it.
Yeah.
I'm Dwayne also Dwayne Wading it.
Yeah. I'm Dwayne Wade. Those numbers don't
three
lie.
3 for 17, 4 turnovers is really quite terrible. Chuck, do you wanna throw it at Jeremy Lin or you wanna make it a unanimous?
You guys know what I'm gonna do. I'll always take Rooster Rufio in the face ass.
His
Jeremy Lin
hairstyles are changing. He's going to do every Tekashi Miike hairstyle.
My goodness.
Every Japanese gangster hairstyle. He's done the protagonist.
I look forward to Googling
he's
that
done
reference.
The antagonist.
It's like there's a
don't
battle.
Don't Google too specifically because there's a lot of disemboweling.
Oh. I'll turn on my safe search. There remember when go. We told you about safe search?
I don't.
Good.
I think that was a rabble, actually.
I think. Oh well, I'm about to have Chuck stab another beer for me. So,
yep.
There seems to be this the rage in the NBA is just looking like you were cast in Back to the Future Part 2,
right?
Like
that. This is what it looks.
That's because we're in 2015. Well, we're not in 2015. We passed it.
I know.
And NBA players do like their hoverboards.
They do, and so it's like Russell Westbrook looks like a. Like he's in Biff's gang.
Oh, some of what he wears is no question.
He does.
That's fashion.
And, you know, Jeremy Lin's hair looks like it would belong at that diner with whatever Max Headroom,
you
or whatever
it.
His name was.
You nailed it.
They all have the sports almanac from 2011.
that's fantastic. All right, so congratulations, Dwayne Wade. You are this week's International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner. This date... In iShop history.
This is a thing now?
I don't know if I'm doing it every week. turn the Wayback Machine, 2009. January 13th, a guy named J.R. Smith was 1 for 14 for 2 points.
Laying pipe
for the Nuggets in a narrow victory over the Mavs. So that was your this date in iShop history. Don't know if it'll be every week. The looks Chuck and John give me.
Yes.
Okay, they're asking for more.
Onions.
All right, we'll keep it going. All right, guys, our par fadeaway. What are we looking forward to this week? There's one answer alone. We tipped our hat last week.
Mm-hmm. Memphis, we coming.
Memphis, we are coming to you. Nashville boys coming to Memphis, wearing our Grizzlies Porzingis jerseys.
Shout out.
Yeah, we're coming to the Knicks game. I'm excited to see, again, I'm excited to see the Carmelo playing right.
I think he's hurt. No,
he might be hurt. At all. Might be out. But Porzingis is... We are so excited to see him.
If you have any notions of things we should do in Memphis, hit us up on the Twitters.
Oh, yeah. Please. Facebook. Please tweet at FastBreakBreak. I've been to Memphis a lot, but I still feel like there's a lot of things I've missed. I feel like I've hit the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there's a couple of food spots I've never been to that I'm still
waiting
to. Chuck
and I can show you the back alleys where you get the beautiful snow.
Yeah, where you get... I don't want to be ripped off in the...
let it snow.
If there are any listeners in Memphis who happen to be in a drug dealer's backseat, if you found a phone there, just give me a holler.
It's an iPhone 5S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just hit us on Twitter and we'll get that to you. There's also...
The background, the screenshot is Dwayne Wade. That's Chuck's phone.
The 6-pointer. Also, the one thing... Again, we've been so focused on our little minutia that we love... The big picture, I'm loving watching the Spurs and Marjanovic, the PER leading
Boban,
and how those two teams are just the best. And then how the East, there's 13 teams fighting. The Bucks and the Wizards are trying to get themselves off the mat, even while the Hornets struggle without Batum. Now Batum's back. The Adam Silver parody is here.
Hey. I'm more into the Boban Marjanovic wedding picture you sent me the other day.
Wow, he looks
There's no
great.
Way that's real. There's no way that's real. Final thing to look forward to is, again, on Monday, listen to us on rabble.tv as we're going to call. We're going to give you unfiltered, uncensored. There'll be no bleeps. John will go on monologues about things that can't be mentioned here.
And that's true.
So follow us on Rabble, and you can listen to us there if you're getting tired of whatever bland ESPN announcers they put on the game. All right. You guys, thanks for listening. Stick around for the Grizzlies epilogue presented by Fan Essentials, where we will talk a lot and argue about Marc Gasol and the mediocre Memphis Grizzlies. John shakes his head in disgust at what I'm saying. Follow us on Twitter at FastBreakBreak. Like us on Facebook. Write us a review on iTunes. We really appreciate it. You guys are the best. And thanks for listening. Remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right. Welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue. Chuck has just stabbed John's beer.
He's about to stab another.
At this time, I want to let you know, guys, about a company called Fan Essentials. If you're a Grizzlies fan, I would think maybe you've heard of them. They are a subscription service where they will send you a box of goodies.
Amazing.
T-shirts and hand-curated goods. You might know the like of the subscription box, but they are for NBA fans, and actually they do it for, I think, 7 or 8 teams now. So go to fanessentials.net. Check them out if you want to get some awesome stuff. It is a way to show that you are the biggest of NBA fans.
It literally sounds like an alternative to every other gift I've ever received that I didn't want.
Right. This is if you're a grown man,
like what's better than just getting a bunch of sports stuff in a huge box?
Just a bunch of Grizzlies things.
Like when your old lady she asks you what you want for your birthday or for Xmas or Hanukkah or what have you, you just say a box of goodies from Fan Essentials.
That's perfect. All right. The Grizzlies, as we mentioned last week, are continuing on their mediocre tear. They are winning every other game.
Yeah.
Which is the sign of an okay team.
Absolutely. That's unbelievable.
If you ever wanted to, a light just spontaneously came on above us.
Right as Keith said, they are an okay team. A light kind of just literally went up over
ding,
his
ding,
head.
Ding, ding.
So we've been podcasting for over a year now, and we finally come to the conclusion that right. The Memphis Grizzlies are an okay team. And we'll still talk about them for 15 minutes at the end of every episode.
It'll be short, Chuck.
You think this will?
Chuck, as soon
as you got another thing coming.
I was going to tell Chuck, as soon as he finds a Miami Heat sponsor, we'll be all on the Miami Heat. Have a look.
Don't try me.
All right. What about some just cocaine? The sponsor.
Sponsored by Narcos.
South Beach Diet.
Tootsie's Cabaret.
So they got obliterated by the Thunder in a demoralizing game that made me hate basketball.
Like you do.
They beat the Nuggets mainly because Mike Malone wanted to let J.J. Hickson have a go.
Right.
As opposed to Nurkic and Jokic, who were doing their thing.
By the way, Nikola Jokic is phenomenal.
He's great.
Dropping 9 dimes from a center position.
I love
that. That's a Marc Gasol numbers.
I know this is more scattered and smothered than Grizz, but I love everything the Nuggets have going on.
Can we call them the Itchy Brothers?
The Itchy Brothers? Yeah. Oh.
Nurkic and Jokic.
How about just Ichiban?
Ichiban.
Number one.
The Celtics game.
I love you a long time.
The Celtics game was the only joy I think I've felt this whole season.
Right.
It was the first time the Grizzlies were down and did not quit.
You really took that well.
It was the only time I felt joy this whole year.
I know. You really took that well.
Did you not take it well? I mean, were you too...
I was irritated by the Grizzlies' performance except for the very end.
The third quarter was great.
The prism you just put that, the perspective you just lent me there, thank you.
Right.
That is a positive way to look at it.
I was watching the game furious.
Yeah, I was mad as hell.
And then they came back. And a lot of it is, again, what I mentioned last week. It's that now at least my favorite players on the Grizzlies are not terrible. Like you ever wonder what a team led by Zach Randolph and Tony Allen's record is? It's 500. Because that's what we're at right now. Like... Right now, Conley's not playing, and Gasol is being terrible. So it's like...
4 games of terrible does not make a terrible
Gasol. I believe he's shot over 50% in maybe one of his last 10 games. It's not great.
I have a refutation.
Okay, please refute. We'll go to Marc Gasol. So okay. Do you want me to attack first?
Sure.
Okay. So this was going to be... This could have been my cream of wheat. Right. I was going
to
point out...
And mine is... my. I also... What I'm about to say could have been a cream of wheat as well.
So I will say small sample size.
Absolutely.
4-game stretch, Marc Gasol shot 15 for 57.
Not many centers have done that. We try to think, yeah. Maybe Patrick Ewing, maybe.
I don't have the search
Probably
tools.
Probably not.
I don't believe I have the search tools for free where I can find out however many centers have done a stretch like that over 4 games.
Like a 41-year-old Arvydas Sabonis, maybe?
Right, right. So... He went 4 games without hitting 30% from the field on nearly 15 shots.
Maybe when Manute Bol tried to shoot threes for a while.
Right. So Peter Edmondson points out in the last 10 games, Mark is 88th among centers in rebounds per 36, which wouldn't be terrible if the NBA had 200 teams.
Correct.
I like this. Twitter. One of our Twitter followers, MeTweetGrizz, @MeTweetGrizz, says, Mark only gets a rebound if the ball gets stuck in his money belt. Come on, Chuck, anything?
Marc Gasol. also, Marc Gasol is not... Well, when,
I know rebounding stats aren't...
They're imperfect.
Marc getting the rebound isn't... Like, Roy Hibbert was that great rebounder for so many years as the perfect box out guy.
Advanced statisticians almost made up a statistic that they were going to call a Marc Gasol where you tap a rebound to your teammate.
Wait, does a tap rebound not count?
No.
That's dumb.
Rebounding sets suck.
So, and it's also these, and I think you've pointed out, like, he got beat on a back cut by Isaiah Thomas.
That's not.
And it's like, 2 years ago, Marc Gasol was crouched down waiting for the play to happen.
Right.
Like, he knew it was coming. So, my negative is that he's trying. And I do like, the positive of him shooting these terrible percentages is when he shoots 17 shots, they still pretty much always win.
Right.
Even if he only hits five of them. So that's the positive.
That's called spacing.
Yeah. So my negative is that, yeah, he's way down. My positive is being that Tony Allen, while still, you don't want Tony Allen to be your best wing. He currently is the Grizzlies' best wing. Bad news, but as a fan, as like a personal Tony Allen fan, I'm liking it, and it's making it more palatable that the Grizzlies are 20-19 or whatever their record may be.
This could not be playing out any better. The real reason the Grizzlies are just blowing ass right now is Tony Allen.
That is also a fair point. I understand what you're saying.
Everyone has looked at that template that the Warriors have laid out.
Right.
And Tony Allen, and I'm not exaggerating, and tell me if you've noticed this. Tony Allen is unguarded on the offensive side.
Right.
Unguarded. They are playing 5-on-4, and it is ruining the numbers of good offensive players like Marc Gasol.
Right.
And I love Tony Allen just as much as you do, and he's actually putting up some good defensive numbers. And like you said, he's been our best cutter. He's been our best. This is what's so pathetic. He has been our best wing.
Right.
But we cannot win with Tony and
we can go 42-40.
Yes, we cannot be a serious team with Tony Allen getting those types of minutes. Now, potentially, are we better with Tony Allen on the floor than our other wings? That's probably true. But you're not going to be a good team.
No.
And you're not going to have a good offense ever.
So that's what I'm come to grips with.
Yeah.
There is no argument to bench Tony Allen with his Grizzlies team.
Right.
Because the options are way worse.
Yeah. It's a roster problem.
So I understand the argument of...
But do I think Marc Gasol is the Grizzlies' problem? I don't. I think Marc Gasol can rest on the laurels of his larger sample size numbers and his Defensive Player of the Year and what he's been in the past. Do I think he's overburdened right now because he's essentially playing 4-on-5? Absolutely. I don't think he's equipped to overcome that. But I don't know if playing Jeff Green over Tony Allen will fix it.
It would be way worse. So my take is, if you put Tony Allen, this is a longer talk than we want to get into, but everyone talked about the narrative of the Warriors figured out Tony Allen and they didn't guard him. And that was like 19 possessions. And then Tony Allen got hurt.
Right.
So the Warriors were better than the Grizzlies.
Right.
They did figure out a way, much like the Spurs did a couple years earlier, like, let's not guard Tayshaun Prince or Tony Allen.
Sure.
And we'll be fine. And that is true.
Right.
But it isn't like they've removed Tony Allen from being a good NBA player. And on this Grizzlies team, if Mike Conley was playing and shooting well, and then there was a forward on the team that could be fine, that lineup's fine. Like, Tony Allen can be on the court. His rebounding and defense from the guard spot, for me, make up for the fact that, yes, teams aren't guarding him and it's making it harder on other guys, but he's doing enough on the offensive boards and getting the steals that, to me, it makes up for it.
Marc Gasol is being asked to be the best scorer, passer, everything on the team. Right? The Conley problem is obviously the story of the season. However, it's one thing when a coach the likes of Greg Popovich or even Steve Kerr figures out how to beat you in the playoffs. It's another thing when Bernie Bickerstaff Jr. on the Rockets totally annihilates you by just ignoring Tony Allen.
That's so
problematic to use a liberal buzzword.
Right, yeah. For me, the Rockets game was more that, to use a European soccer term, they're the more informed team. Like Howard played great. Howard killed Gasol.
Dude, Dwight Howard is awesome.
He's very good.
Yeah.
Obviously. And James Harden had a great game, and they were just killing him. And I feel like the Grizzlies were in it, and the Grizzlies took the lead in the third quarter because of Tony Allen taking advantage of James Harden turning his head. And I don't know how much of that was J.B. Bickerstaff saying, don't guard Tony, as it was James getting lost.
See, yeah, I guess I disagree, because that game, I don't know if I've ever seen a team collapse on the lane as much as the Rockets did to us.
Grizzlies can't shoot.
And they just sat in the lane, and we threw it to Mark, and Mark couldn't get it going.
Right.
And we didn't even have an option two.
So let's.
And that's not a great coach, Bernie Bickerstaff Jr.
Right.
I don't even know his real name. I think it's initials.
JB.
JP Bickerstaff.
JB. Let's rub Chuck into this. Chuck.
Never. Are you going to make me talk about a team with Mario f-ing Chalmers?
He's been the best.
So you haven't even mentioned him. I'm sitting here angry about that. You've had him for no time, and you've already taken him for granted.
I was going to say, this last week of Grizzlies games has been without Mike Conley, which I think, like, you can say, oh, we went 2-2, we lost, but we didn't have Mike Conley.
It's a sneak preview of next year.
It's a sneak, well, it could be, and based on this year, like, the Grizzlies actually might have been better off. Chalmers, when his shot isn't going, gets to the line. Like, he has the knack of the foul.
Mario Chalmers is a wonderful basketball player.
He's a good ball player.
He reminds me of a better version of how I felt about James Johnson when he was in town. I just watch him. I go, man, that guy always seems to do the right thing, and the effort is always there. He picks pockets like Tony Allen picks pockets.
I'm loving as much as the Grizzlies are struggling. My joy has come from the Chalmers, Tony Allen, Matt Barnes, Zebo, Gasol lineup.
Love it. I do too.
That is a grit and grind lineup. It struggles to score, but it's fun to watch, and things get crazy
Chuck brought up in the regular portion of the podcast, what would Tom Thibodeau do with this roster? Might be the only man who can make it work.
Would he play Vince Carter more or less? Because Vince Carter's getting a lot of
burn. Think he would execute him Ned Stark style.
So one thing that's rubbing me wrong, I guess as we wrap up, is Vince Carter's playing. He's actually played decently the last couple games.
It's an illusion.
I still maintain it hurts me when he plays. Vince Carter, if he was the last piece on a championship contending team, I'm fine with him playing. We have demonstrated that, one, he's not the last piece on a championship team. Two, this is a mediocre team.
Right.
Play some James Ennis. Play some young people. It won't be that much different.
That's why Jaeger's got to go.
Like, Jaeger's playing these, like, all these all plus 30 lineups for so many minutes, desperately trying to win these January games. And you're like, we need to get these guys in the game. And this is a mess.
I can't remember if it was Marcel Proust or Nietzsche or Reverend Run who said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
That was...
Was it DJ Run?
Yeah.
Okay. Dave Jaeger's insane.
He did.
Dave Jaeger's insane.
His insanity might have snapped in the last game. Second half, Jeff Green with the coach's decision, no minutes in the second half of the Rockets game. What? Are they going to trade him? Are they going to dump? Can they dump him for Markieff Morris? Just a straight up, just to get those Suns out of it?
I was about to say, I bet that wasn't a coach's decision. I bet that was a GM's decision, because I think a trade may be forthcoming.
I can't even imagine what anyone would do or give.
Man, Jeff Green, you got to remember, in the GM community, there's still the scout type GMs,
right?
Who find his talent and his jumping ability, just tantalizing.
And the tantalizing is there, but also he is the good guy. Like
he seems like a great guy.
No red flags. He's your perfect, consummate professional. Great in the community. Yeah. Great locker room. Like, so that's one of those guys you're like, yeah, I'll trade for him. It won't hurt us at all. On the court, he's going to have the worst net.
If he has a smaller role than the Grizzlies are asking for him, he may even be useful.
We talked about this in the preseason. Our dream for Jeff Green was backup, running the second unit, being the backup four.
Not the number three option.
Not the number three option playing all the time. All right. This has been, again, I guess we probably won't keep beating the dead horse unless we have more fun stories. But this is an interesting, with Jeff Green maybe being on the market for real when they're not going to play him.
Something's up.
Something could be up. Jordan Adams, apparently, whose surgery was announced successful 8 weeks ago, turns out it was not successful. We've got to stop announcing successful surgeries are performed. I guess if the patient doesn't die,
Can we close with thanking Zeebo for some pretty vintage performances?
You know, that guy looks like he could be a starter in this league someday. All right, you guys, thanks for listening to the Grizzlies Epilogue. I know the days are dark, but we still enjoy watching the basketball. See you Saturday in Memphis. If anyone wants to get brave and break the Twitter wall and meet us IRL, we'll be there.
Chuck's really fun to hang out with.
You're going to see us on the court.
Holler at us.
We might get arrested. All right, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening. You guys have a good one.
Arrive safely.